This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's On Location episode comes to you from Swansboro, North Carolina, and Raleigh, North Carolina. But first, On Location is produced by the NCA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. Get ready to join Tammy Pearson, the Director of Operations for Young Williams North Carolina offices, as she welcomes and hosts Judge Ashley Parker, District Court Judge for Wake County, North Carolina. Listen and get to know Judge Parker as they talk about her biggest inspiration and making an impact by focusing on children. Judge Parker shares about parental involvement with children, both financially and physically, to create a better world for them. She talks about what she might like to see better or different in the child support program and how the program could be more equitable. She also reminds child support professionals that these families are individuals and that every situation is different. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back.
So welcome back to another episode of NCA On Location, coming to you from North Carolina. I'm Tammy Pearson with Young Williams. Today, we're pleased to have Judge Ashley Parker with us. Judge Parker, if you'd introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Ashley Parker, and I'm a district court judge in Wake County, which encompasses Raleigh, North Carolina.
Awesome. Well, we are super excited to have you, and I'm going to jump right into a few questions I have.
Sure.
So what is your biggest inspiration and who served as an inspiration in your life?
So my biggest inspiration personally is to try to make the biggest impact that I can with the time that I've been given. And I feel like the biggest impact that we can make is with our children. I truly believe, specifically as being the lead child support judge here in Wake County, that we really need to focus on our children, not only from the financial perspective, but also the physical perspective, the emotional perspective, ensuring that these parents are involved with their children, like I said, financially and also physically. And so that has been really one of the biggest things that I've tried to push, even when I'm speaking to non-custodial parents, is asking, you know, well, are you seeing your child? You know, like today, I just had a case. I'm in child support court right now, and I just had a case where, you know, a gentleman told me he didn't have any money because he hadn't been working. And I said, well, it sounds like you had time. And he said, yes, I had time. I said, well, how much time have you been spending with these children, right? And so just reiterating the importance of both. And that comes from, additionally, my other inspiration, which are my children, Isaac and Isaiah. They're 3 and 8, and wanting to create a better world for them in all the ways that I can. And my other inspiration are my parents, my mom and my dad, who instilled in me a purpose-driven life that's beyond myself, but is service to others. And I'm grateful that I do get to serve as a judge, because I say I am a servant. I am a public servant. And I'm here to help people and not to judge them. And I love that I have the opportunity to do that.
That's amazing. So can you talk about how your belief in the power of education and empowerment drive positive change in the legal landscape?
Absolutely. I truly believe that education is empowering. And I believe that it's incumbent upon us in the justice system to use the knowledge that we have to assist the people who need us the most. And like I said, the most vulnerable being our children. But we are dealing with a lot of individuals, specifically in child support court, that do have a lack of education, just academically, or even just an education of the system, of how it works. In addition, we're dealing with people who have probably had very negative experiences with the justice system. They could have had a prior record. They could have had negative experiences with an attorney, with a judge, with you know, they've had other kids and they haven't had a great experience with child support court. It could be a lot of different things. And so I think that it's important for us to exemplify patience with those individuals, but also take those opportunities within the legal parameters that we have, obviously not giving legal advice. But when we're offered an opportunity to provide legal information, we should do so. I know for me, one day I was sitting here and I've always, like I said, I like to tell non-custodial parents, you know, you have an opportunity to see your child if the other parent won't let you, you know, they won't let me see my kid, da, 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 da. And I'll say, okay, well, you need to go downstairs, you need to get a custody packet, you need to fill it out, come back up here, and somebody in a black robe will tell, you know, that other person how often you can see your child. And I felt really good about myself because I felt like, you know, like I said, education is empowering, you know, like they're going to go and they're going to get access to this kid and it's going to be great because the child is going to have that opportunity to have both healthy parents. Right. And then they would come back a few months later and they would say, Judge. And I would say, hey, did you fill it out? And they'd say, Judge, I tried. I just could not figure out this packet. And that's when I realized there was a gap in equal access to justice. When we talk about justice being, you know, provided without favor or denial, they are being denied this opportunity because just because they don't know, they're not a lawyer and don't know how to fill this out, they're being denied a constitutional right of access to their children. And so I'm grateful that last year we were able to create the Wake County Legal Support Center that provides information, legal information for free to anyone, doesn't matter how much money they make, doesn't matter their gender, race, if they're the custodial parent, non-custodial parent, whatever, helps them with their housing issues as well as their domestic issues to provide them that opportunity to help them fill out those packets so that way they can have that access to their children. And it's only been open a year and it's already served over 5,800 people. So we are grateful at the success of this center. And I would love, and I'm like, we need this everywhere. We need this all across the state of North Carolina. We only have two, but we need this in every county across the nation. There should be no reason why people are not able to access these forms and access the court system if they can't afford an attorney.
Oh, I agree. I will say one of the things I've done in my offices here is we have like a community liaison who attends court and works with people to get them the access and the information, the help they need. I love that program. And I agree. I think every county should have that tool available to them. You know, yes. One of the things we're talking about now as the child support world is all having the same kinds of tools and the means to provide this information, provide support. And so I think that's one of them. That is a great tool. Great.
Absolutely.
Tool.
I mean, because that's the thing, like our service is beyond just what we do at our job every day. Our service extends beyond that. And we know that this one issue is not the only issue. We've got to take a more holistic approach to working with these families, or we're just going to see the cycle continue and these generational curses continue as well. So I love any type of community perspective that we can put on the work that we do.
Absolutely. So most everyone either knows someone who has been touched by the child support system or knows someone who has been involved. Can you think of something in the child support system that you might like to see better or different and how the program could be more equitable?
Definitely. I have noticed that a few things. The first thing that I've noticed is that those individuals who make the least amount of money have the highest percentage taken out, especially here in North Carolina. They do our guidelines every several years. And, you know, if I see someone who's making $2,000 a month and their child support order is $500 a month, that's a huge chunk of that. And I know that the idea is to pull our children out of poverty, but we can't do that if the parents can't even pull themselves out of poverty. And we are dealing with, you know, housing crisis as far as people being unable to find housing, specifically in the area, like, you know, like Raleigh. We're having a lot of housing issues. People are having trouble not necessarily finding employment, but finding the type of employment that may be extremely lucrative for them. Once again, with barriers such as prior criminal records or any of those type of educational, like different barriers that can prevent them from getting that type of job. Whereas I may have someone who has $10,000 or $12,000 a month and their child support obligation might be $2,000 or $1,500 obligation, right? And so I've seen those type of barriers where and I'm very clear that a $50 order and a $150 order is not sufficient. Like I said, I have two children. I'm a single mom. I'm a divorcee. I am responsible for paying for the care of my children. So I, as a mom, completely understand the sentiment of those custodial parents, whether moms or dads, and, you know, being clear that those smaller orders do not meet the threshold for these children. I even break it down and I'll say, okay, $100, that's $3.33 a day. That can't buy a Happy Meal anywhere. Chick-fil-A is $7, you know, and, you know, we're talking about whatever age that we're talking about. And I love to kind of break that down to say, like, per day, this is what it's actually looking like as well. And not to be rude or anything along those lines, but I think it's important for us to understand that concept of how expensive children are. However, I also want that custodial parent to have a consistent amount of money that's coming out for them. And that needs to happen with an amount that's affordable. And so I think that that's really important to have that affordability to ensure that that parent can consistently get that amount of money. So I think those are the biggest issues that I've seen with our system currently.
How do you think we can overcome that as a, you know, as a child support agency group, or even as a state, that we can overcome that?
I think it's challenging because we have so many different states that are creating their own guidelines. We have states that have interest on not paying it, okay? So holistically, I think it's just going to be an issue. But I think the biggest thing that we need to do is we need to remember that these families are individuals and that every situation is different and that we cannot take a monolithic approach to everything all the time. We want to try to, but, you know, equity and equality are two different things. And so we just want to be aware of how can we support this family that we have right here in front of us to ensure that this child or these children are receiving what they need. And that might just be a little different. You know, a lot of times, you know, I have no problem and I encourage modifications, right? Your order is $500, you're not working, what are we doing? You know, but you're actively looking for employment. Okay, well, maybe we need to do a short-term modification. Maybe it needs to be 150 for a little bit until you get that job and we'll come back in and we'll readdress it. But life fluctuates and we have to understand that. But I think additionally, also understanding and encouraging, well, how often are you seeing the child? Because I truly believe that you will invest in what you care about and what you're aware of. And if you're not seeing your child or having a relationship with them, it's out of sight, out of mind. You know, you're paying, you pay your light bill. Why? Because your lights are on. So you need to pay your child support bill because you understand your child has expenses and you're not going to know the expenses of your child if you're not ever seeing them. And so I think there's definitely a lot of growth that we can do in trying to get these parents, these non-custodial parents, to understand that they need to have a relationship and a bond. And I believe that that will help them to say, okay, you know what? I do need to be paying for my child. I understand. I appreciate what all you're doing for my child. And this is the least that I can do. I hope that's where we will be if we have an empathetic landscape of people and just the world and parents just wanting to be the best version of themselves that they can be.
Yeah, I think most parents do. They want to be the best that they can be. And I agree, the barriers that are in the way for them, and it may be some things that they may have done, but it is on us as a community and an estate to remove those barriers. And I think that's the big thing that happens, you know, with this. I come from a single parent home and I understand, and I understood that prior to 75, that it was a lot different than before the, you know, Title 4D program came along. So I agree there. We've got to lift those barriers and find a way to help everyone. That kind of leads into the next thing. So what is one piece of advice that you would give the youth of today?
I would give the youth of today the advice that you can show them better than you can tell them. That is something that I absolutely learned at a very young age. I grew up in a very racist area where individuals told me what I couldn't do. And I just said, I'll show you what I can do. And even now, being a judge, I was 29 years old when I first went for the bench, and I was 30 when I was appointed. And now coming up on my 7th year at the end of this year. So I'm in my 6th year. And so even still being young, I'm still young. And I'm still like, there's other opportunities that, you know, I'm going to go for. But I think at the end of the day, remembering that you are enough. Remembering that you're beautifully and wonderfully made, that you are capable of doing all these different things. Don't let anyone tell you what you're not. I think that is the biggest thing. And that your circumstances and any kind of barriers that you think are in front of you are only as big as you allow them to be.
I love it. And I will tell my grandchildren that, I guarantee you. So, unique question that I like to ask everyone when I do a podcast. If you could be a superhero for a day, who would you be and why?
So, funny story, I was working out at the gym, and they have this huge video room where I do my, or like movie room where I do the elliptical. And I was in that room the other day, and I've never seen this movie before, so some of my people on here are going to be like, what? But anyways, long story short, Wonder Woman was playing, or a movie with her, some Marvel movie was playing. And she was, and I don't know what movie it was, but she was in the bank, and they were shooting at all the people that were in the bank, all the customers. And she's like blocking the bullets, you know, with like her wrist. And I was looking at that and I was like, oh my goodness, I love how she is just dodging the nonsense. And so I feel like that's what I'm doing. I feel like I'm dodging, I'm weaving, I'm bobbing, and I'm dodging it. And so my favorite superhero currently right now was her, because I just love her confidence. And the man was like, what are you? You know, and that's how we all need to be. I want somebody asking, what are you? You know, how are you able to do that? And I thank God that, you know, he is my source. And I feel like that's why I'm able to do what I'm doing. But that's where I would say I get my power from, is God. And so I would say Wonder Woman.
Awesome. I love that. So in closing, tell us what motivates you. Why you do what you do.
What motivates me is hope. I truly believe that one day I will work my way out of a job. One day. The hope that, because it's a very thankless job. Nobody ever says thank you. In fact, everybody's mad at you every day, all the time. You can give them what they want, and they're still going to be mad at you, right? And so I am grateful that I still have hope and will continue to not be cynical, and to have that hope that if I even impact one child's life, one person's life, then I have done something at the end of the day. And I think that's what we all need to remember. There's going to be so many hard days, so many opportunities and trials that we're going to have, and difficulties, and people are going to be yelling at you and fussing and being ridiculous and making your job difficult, whether it's your employer, your, you know, your colleagues, or the people that you're serving, whatever else. But just remember that you are impacting a life, even if you don't see it. You are making an impact. And I think that's what we all need to remember.
Wonderful. I could talk to you all day. I know you've been talking all day. So I just want to say in closing that I really do appreciate you speaking with me today, answering all these wonderful questions. I truly do admire you. And I agree with you that we've got to do better by the world today. And as a grandmother, as a Mimi, I tell my grandchildren all the time, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do something or you can't be this, because you can. And I really do appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much for your thoughtful questions and for taking the time to talk to me. And like I said, anything you guys need, let me know. Happy to do whatever. So thank you again.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, sweetie. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCIA Communications Committee, with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.